You ready for Basecamp Fitness's best deal yet? 7 days for $7. That's right, 7 days for $7. It's time to double down on your fitness goals and snag this offer before it's gone. Call or text Basecamp Fitness at 913-232-9770 or go to basecampfitness.com to learn more.
Isn't this a sports show?
Steve Spagnuolo is a gift to the human race, really to all the whole planet and altogether. I bet animals would love Spags also. Mm-hmm. Actually, I know that's true. He's already friends with the honey badger. He's basically Cinderella.
Almost entirely.
I'm trying to imagine how that would go.
I actually am right now, yeah. I am, and it's awesome.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
What is that, a glass slipper? Is that for my left foot? Or my, is that going to fit on my foot?
The ball was yesterday.
Wait. What time do we have to go home? What, is it midnight?
Oh, is it? Listen,
what time is it?
Good morning, guys.
Wait a second. Is that turning into a pumpkin? What time is it, a.m. or p.m.? Midnight and noon.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
You're telling me this horse was a rat?
This horse, wait, what? The horse is a rat.
Why is it wearing your shirt?
What's going on with the horse and the rat? Where's my honey badger?
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810WHB.
Happy Monday. Welcome in to Almost Entirely Sports. We started at 8, but we got 3 hours. Wait, what? What's that? Yeah, that's happening all week long, everybody. Welcome in to AES on 810, not just 8 to 10, 8 to 11 for this week, the foreseeable future. And a lot of time to talk about a lot of things here tonight, as we will we'll have three guests as we have 3 hours. And I'm excited for all of them. None more, though, than Brendan Minter, who will be joining us here in about 20 minutes. He helped put together, we'll let him tell the story, but he did put together the video among NFL players, black NFL stars, talking about what they would like the NFL to say, that then prompted the Roger Goodell video, that now I'm sure we've all seen both of those, all heard both of those. Brendan started that ball rolling with Michael Thomas of the Saints, and I have a lot of legitimate, genuine questions for Brendan, and I also think that what I do know already, you'll like hearing from him as well in terms of how this process played out and what happens next, honestly. So we'll talk to Brendan here in about 20 minutes. Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest will join us at 9, and then at 10, yes, at 10, we'll talk to Max Reaper of Royals Review. But a lot going on in the baseball world and stuff not going on in the baseball world at the moment as well. But the story of the day is the story of the weekend, is the story of last week. And I'm sorry if you don't like it. I'm not really sorry. But this is where we're at right now. The sports world is about either baseball not making up any ground or everything currently happening across the country, how players are involved, how the NFL is involved, how either of them are not, and then also the specifically for us here, the role of our local guys. And there are two angles on it here today that I want to talk about before I talk to Brendan. One comes from Jason Reed of ESPN's The Undefeated. He wrote a column today that I would encourage anyone listening to this to go read. It's called The headline is The Power of Patrick Mahomes Saying, quote, Black Lives Matter. The NFL's brightest star uses status to take a stand despite the risks. And frankly, it's something that I hadn't spent a lot of time thinking about until we were talking to Darren Smith of The Ship on 810 on Sunday. And then since then, I've wandered into some like Facebook Chiefs fans groups and brushed by enough comment sections to be reminded of where we're at right now. It was a serious move for any of those players to step into this video that we'll talk to Brendan about. It was a legitimate choice that all of them had to make, because there would be repercussions. It's never been easier publicly to say Black Lives Matter, because it's never been so commonly agreed upon and said out loud. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be without consequence, without people turning on you, without people yelling any variety of things from stick to sports to any other any other sort of harassment, if you will, to say what you should and shouldn't be talking about, what you should and shouldn't believe, what other people do and don't want to hear you say. And none of that is more true for anyone other than Mahomes. You have this guy that is the star, the rising star. Not like in the sense that, not like the rising star game in the NBA All-Star Week, where you're like, here are a bunch of guys that are young and good. Patrick Mahomes is the sun coming up over the horizon. Like, Tom Brady is setting, and Mahomes is rising right now, and it's clear this is that dude. And as a black quarterback, where those questions have come up to him a number of times, especially, you know, in national stages, maybe from reporters that don't talk about it that much. I mean, locally, I don't know when, but at some point, I feel like locally, we just were like, yeah, we don't need to ask Pat about this on a weekly basis. Maybe he could have been asked about it more, but it just wasn't. That was never a an overwhelming concern from a local perspective, because we talked to this dude twice a week. But he ends up in this video, he ends up being kind of the anchoring voice. He ends up being the most recognizable face, and he's not going anywhere. Tom Brady started talking like last year. And not a lot, a little bit. Recently, he signed a letter about seeking justice for Ahmaud Arbery. And it wasn't even really covered that seriously, which I don't know. I mean, we're probably part of the problem on that. It seemed odd to me that wasn't a bigger national story. But most young star quarterbacks, black or white, typically don't talk early. You think about a player, just anyone in the league who was a big personality out of the gate. Odell Beckham is one of those guys, and most of the conversations around him end up being negative, because I think that's the knee-jerk reaction. It's either don't say anything until you have rings, like at least three. You got to be Aikman level rings before you can say anything with your platform. And we gatekeep with that and say, hey, clear this bar, and then you can talk. And then usually the goalposts move and gate gets built up again, and you say, okay, well now do this, and then you can talk. But if you think about the rising stars, I kind of think of Russell Wilson as being in the era just before Patrick Mahomes now. The most interesting thing he's done is like tweet out an Instagram, a video on Instagram stories about him getting his contract done from bed. In, I would say, a otherwise compromising position, it seemed. He posted it. It was weird. That's the most noteworthy thing Russell Wilson has done publicly. Like, this is not the same in star level at all, but I mean, Alex Smith never really said much in terms of making headlines in any way whatsoever. Head coaches and quarterbacks, quarterback speak is a thing. Coach speak is a thing. You just say nonsense, you say cliches, and you hope that none of it makes a headline or becomes bulletin board material. Well, both Deshaun Watson, to a lesser extent, I would say, and just because he's a lesser player to a, not a tremendous extent, but certainly a lesser player, because Patrick Mahomes is one with a bullet. You get Watson out at the protests. You get Mahomes lending his face and voice and name and words to this video. And I think we are seeing an evolving status quo, where you, the person listening right now, I'm in your headphones or in your car speakers or whatever, you, if you so choose, can treat every player who speaks out like they're Odell Beckham and talk about their hair and their tantrums, and you can take on the content of what they say if you want. Or you can do the thing where you purposefully misdirect in terms of the statements they make and what they actually mean. You can do all of that. You, an individual, can run interference, can choose to ignore it, can complain about it until the end of time. But the group, us as football fans and football viewers, we are here for a generation of players that not only has something to say, where there is an issue we're all staring at right now, and they're saying Black Lives Matter, and we need the NFL to admit that they were wrong to silence the protests. We need to know you're with us now. They have an issue that public perception has evolved on pretty quickly these last couple of weeks, extremely slowly for hundreds of years before that, but very quickly these last couple of weeks in terms of understanding some of the nuances, right? They have that. But these are also guys who've grown up watching the NBA be better at this. It's no longer just NFL veterans looking at NBA players using their platform and going like, oh, well, that must be nice. These are guys who I don't even mean growing up like 8, 9, 10. I mean in high school and college. Who are you watching? Who are you talking about? And then what are they saying and doing? We have a crop of players right now from Odell. I think Odell Beckham might be the cutoff even. Of like, and maybe the quintessential, like, new dude. From him on to where we are now, you can see it from Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence also. We're seeing a crop of players that is willing to say, here's what I believe, here's what is important to me, here's the thing that I want to help facilitate change in. Here's what I think you should hear me say beyond just we're looking forward to the challenge of playing the Texans or on to Cincinnati. Here's what I think you should be listening to right now. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. Not at a certain level. You might not like it whenever, you know, the third tight end does it. You don't have a choice if Patrick Mahomes decides he wants to use his platform that way. Or Deshaun Watson or Lamar Jackson or, frankly, or Drew Brees. And we'll circle back to his third apology kind of statement thing, which I actually think is different and more useful than his previous ones. But we'll talk about that later. I also don't know if this is going to be the beginning of a long line of Patrick Mahomes speaking out and lending his voice to causes he believes in. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be a one-off as the world sees this, as much of the world sees this as an inarguable fact of saying Black Lives Matter is not controversial and saying that's the side of history you're on as not controversial and the only way. Lots of people see it that way. I'm seeing it that way, clearly. Maybe Mahomes says, hey, this is the thing I want to talk about. I'm going to talk about it right now, and then I'll lay off for a while. But this is going to be changing for more players as we go. I don't know if it's going to be everybody all at once. All these young guys, I don't imagine that everyone will be constantly talking about things that they care about, causes they believe in. But they can now. That seal is broken in many ways. They've spoken out, used their collective voice, and then And then Roger Goodell comes back and says, you guys are right about this, 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 and this, and we were wrong, and here's where we go next. Maybe not so much the last, maybe that's more hopeful. But they grabbed power, they grabbed their own power, and then used that platform. And this happens all the time, and musical artists and actors get, I don't care what artists and actors say, but also we're supposed to care what you say. And I'm just going to run through this one real quick. And like the president got famous through business and a TV show. So like, just make sure you're consistent, I guess, between who you're listening to and whatnot. And I'm not ready to elect Patrick Mahomes president. That's, yeah, well, let me think about it. He's not old enough yet, so I can actually buy time. I'm not ready to, I'm not ready to promise my vote yet. I'm not going to be writing him in.
I mean, the issue is more that if he becomes the president, he can't be the quarterback.
That's also a great point. All right, good. Okay, I'm no longer
conflicted. And what do you care about more, Josh? The Chiefs or your nation?
Yeah, I mean, we all know the answer to that, right?
I think so.
Here's the thing. I think there are a handful of other people who'd be okay presidents. Not as good as Patrick Mahomes, but okay presidents. And I just don't, let's have Matt Moore go do two terms.
President of the United States is like a running back in the NFL. You're just looking for value.
It's a system position.
Elites. No. You just need Damian Williams out there.
Right. And you can't have 97 fumbles per game. It can't be, your president can't be LeSean McCoy holding the ball like a sandwich.
Just Damian. He's just out there doing the job. And then now and then breaks it for 80.
That's exactly right. Eventually, that analogy is going to become so convoluted that I've completely lost the plot, and I think we're pretty much there. But look, man, whenever people earn platforms or just get them, you can have all sorts of qualms about if you should care, what some TikToker with a million followers says. But they have a platform. You can say, I'm not interested, peace. That's fine. But I think that the generation, frankly, that I'm a part of, that I'm counting myself in age bracket-wise, and the generation of these players that we're talking about right now, I think there's an amount of like, hey, I've got something that I believe in here and something I believe is important and something that I'm going to use my platform to amplify. Basketball's been doing it. People otherwise famous, again, actors, musicians, whatever, have been doing it. I think the NFL, there is so much there in the team mentality that can sort of evolve into a denial of self kind of thing, where it's just all about the shield and the logo and the name on the front and not the back. You can believe in causes and still be an excellent player and teammate. And I think a lot of people are understanding that. I'm going to be really interested to see how it evolves and where we go from here. But I do think that the landscape has changed. And I think the landscape has changed in large part because of, and as the catalyst, that video that came out late last week of those black NFL players, all stars, Pro Bowl caliber guys, including Patrick Mahomes, including Tyrann Mathieu, saying what they wanted to say and telling the NFL what they wanted to hear from them. That was made with the help of Brendan Minter. We'll talk to him next year on Almost Entirely Sports.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Gonna compare Patrick Mahomes to every other team's backup quarterback. God, do I know every team's backup quarterback?
Let's find out.
Let's find out!
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
sometimes you read a story that answers a handful of questions and then creates a lot more. And that was my experience reading the story in The Athletic about how the video, including that coalition of black NFL stars, addressed to the NFL, to NFL owners, the process of how that video came about was described in that article. And I also was left with many more questions to kind of fill in some more of the gaps. And so now we get to do that because Brendan Minter is on the line with us right now. You can follow him on Twitter at Brendan, B-R-Y-N-D-O-N. And he was, I'll let you explain at some point, Brendan, but he was behind the video working with Michael Thomas. The first question, though, I have for you is that Dan Le Batard called you Brandon for a solid 8 minutes on the radio today. Would you like to dunk on Dan Le Batard?
Wow. Yeah.
you thought I was going to get you in trouble, but you didn't know how. You didn't know it was going to be this way.
Sure. Yeah. this is definitely a spin. When people ask how to pronounce it, I say, as long as it's not Brandon, I don't care. It could be Brendan. It could be Brendan, but just not Brandon. And, I still respect him. He's a good guy.
I love Le Batard. I listened today, and after I heard that you were on with him, and I thought, you know what? Also, it'll give me a chance to make sure I'm gonna say it right. And then I heard Brandon a lot, and then I got concerned again for you. But I'll try to get it.
Appreciate you checking.
I'll try to get it right at least the majority of the time. Man, listen, there are so many things about this whole story and about the work that you did, along with, I know you've spent a lot of time making sure you point back to the other people around you that sort of got through this point. But man,
for sure.
what was the environment like? What can you explain to everybody? What was your mindset like as you were having the conversations that led up to you going, all right, I'm gonna talk to Michael Thomas, I'm gonna shoot him a DM, and I've got an idea. I'm going to see what I can do to help. What was leading up to all of that for you?
For sure. So, you know, this week was very emotionally taxing. We were tired, right? Mm-hmm. I was tired. My colleagues were tired. And after 3 days or so of talking specifically with the NFL social team as a whole and our superiors, it just didn't seem like anything was getting through. And as the people that press send on the tweets, we know, based on the content, we know what the reception is going to be from the fans, right? We are on the ground level and know that sentiment on how people react. We know our fan base. We know what people are going to think. And so it just grew hour by hour that, you know, if the league itself cannot come out and say something as simple as we believe that Black Lives Matter and we condemn racism, like it just was such an elephant in the room. Words are, you know, talk is cheap, but mm-hmm. those specific words were so important to acknowledge and let that ring true as a statement that the company that I work so hard for and all of my colleagues work so hard for should say.
Yeah. So then what? So then that's sort of the exhaustion of the week. So then you reach out to Michael Thomas. How do you guys assemble the group of players? How did you decide who would be in the video, who wouldn't be? And then that next step of the kind of the construction of it.
Sure. So speaking just to this video, Mike immediately had buy-in for this, and his first thought was, hey, we're going to get the best of the best. We'll start with 8, maybe 10 people, and this is still Wednesday night. When I wake up Thursday morning, there's growing interest. There are already videos from Anthony Barr, Ezekiel Elliott, and Eric Kendricks in my inbox. Mike is sending each line per video, one by one, and I wake up to him asking, like, hey, is it cool if I ask Odell? And, hey, Saquon is interested. I'm like, yeah. Like, what do you, of course. So, you know, interest grew, word spread, and player by player, you know, it was a fluid situation. Whoever was interested, I said, Mike, just, you know, if they want to do this, I will write them into this script. We'll get them the right lines to say. You just send those videos, and I'll throw them in here into this video sequence. So it was super fluid, and it went all the way up to the hour that it was posted. Sterling Shepard sent his videos in really late, and probably 30 minutes before the first post, I was still editing.
This is very specific, so your answer to this could very reasonably just be no. But do you know how Tyrann Mathieu and Patrick Mahomes ended up getting brought in? Was that directly through Mike to them? Do you know how any of those conversations went specifically with those two guys?
Yeah, 100%. So I think both Mike and I had something to do with it there. So, you know, Mike reaches out to both of them. He DMs them. Tyron's immediately in. I've worked with Tyron before. I gave him a heads up that this was coming. He seemed bought in from the start. Patrick's team, while I haven't worked directly with Patrick, I have worked with people on his direct team. And when Mike said, hey, Pat, we want you to be in this video, obviously as the Super Bowl MVP in such a pivotal offseason for Patrick, like, it's bold to put your neck out on the line like that. And so they just had questions they wanted to clarify, like, what is the project, who's in charge of producing it, like, what is this, Mike? And when he said, hey, it's this guy Brendan Minter, Pat's team said, oh wait, we've worked with him before, like, we trust his ability to tell this story, like, we'll need to clarify with Brendan and have that conversation, but like, as of right now, it seems like we're in. And so that was huge to have that pre-existing relationship with both Tyron and Patrick, or Patrick's team. And, you know, I couldn't be prouder of either of them. I respect the hell out of both of them.
And that's high praise. Like, not to just toot your horn for the next 20 minutes, but that, I mean, to have that kind of trust, not just from again, Mike, but Pat's team and everybody who's sending these videos in, like, there was a lot put onto your plate and into your hands to kind of form all of this. What was that stressful? Was it energizing? Could it be both?
It was definitely both. It was more energizing, I think. I've had to really, you know, starting Wednesday and leading up till right now at this point, I've had to remember to eat, to take breaks and go on walks. I've been taking interviews and taking phone calls, walking around the neighborhood. I just ate pizza and hadn't had anything since 9 a.m. this morning. So, yeah, I mean, it's exhilarating. I've had adrenaline since Wednesday night, and it hasn't stopped, and it's been overwhelming. But, you know, we're here, and it's cool to be here.
Well, I mean, again, and like, to hop on that for another second, like, we were talking to Nate Taylor of The Athletic, covers the Chiefs, and we were talking to him, you know, 30 minutes after the video came out, and I texted him, like, hey, man, he's already scheduled to come on. I said, hey, man, want to make sure you saw the video. And he was like, oh, yeah, the game done changed. And he said that again on the radio. We talked about that. I mean, the last several days, this feels like a project that has fundamentally altered the landscape of NFL players using their voices, and then we'll get to Goodell's response and that whole process later on. But have you taken time throughout all of this to kind of step back and consider what the scale of this is?
You know, I still don't think it's hit me.
Yeah.
The true scale of this, but you know, just a mantra of our NFL social team and really a direct responsibility of my job is to help players make content. I referred to helping Pat's team produce that content before. Pat's one of the guys that, you know, we help out. We provide him with content. not exclusively, but, you know, when we're able to, we send him videos. We're able to send him photos to post. We do that with as many players as we can. The list goes on. It's A-list talent. Juju, Jamal Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, you name it. Football highlights, football content, we help. But it was a unique situation to produce a video like that for the players to truly show their voice here.
And the content was obviously really important, and it seemed like the words were chosen carefully. What was the collaborative process like for choosing the words of the scripts and the names that you list and all of those things? Who was that worked out among?
Yeah, so I mean, it was a collective effort. The people typing the words out, while it was myself and a colleague, Nick Tony, and then Mike provided a lot of creative direction on what he liked and didn't like. I think that it's super important to recognize that the message behind that script and the script itself was informed and inspired by many of my Black colleagues and the Black Engagement Network that, as you mentioned before, and I just want to honor them and celebrate them, but their work, tireless hours of work to push internally to set this foundation for this to even be possible, right?
Yeah.
Definitely want to celebrate that and recognize their efforts. I've seen a lot of people framing this as, hey, this is what happened in 24 hours. This is a change of face that happened in 48 hours. While the video was executed in 12 hours, it's such a small part on this whole timeline here. Without years and years of effort from the Black Engagement Network and my Black colleagues that have been working on this since before I was even in the NFL in 2017, without that work, none of this happens.
Within the context of the script and that collaboration and everything, did you guys have any conversations about invoking the name of Colin Kaepernick? Did you, because obviously you talk about admitting fault in the protests and sort of hushing those. I can imagine that's a conversation that you kind of go pros, cons and look into. Was there any consideration throughout that?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, it was a discussion. It was a conversation. And, you know, moving forward, I think that's yet to be determined. And I don't think that I have the right to comment as, you know, a NFL social employee. Sure. I don't think it's not my call, and my opinion doesn't matter in this situation. So, you know, while I have an opinion, I think that no comment is appropriate
and totally valid. 100%. Please don't let anyone tell you haven't stuck your neck out enough in the last several days. Don't let me hear anybody else bully you into doing it one more time. Because I mean, you look, man, you talked about being at peace throughout the process, right? Even while having some real fears about what would this look like? What would this mean about my job and everything there? So I know you felt at peace throughout the process. Can you pinpoint where that feeling of peacefulness about whatever would happen was coming from for you?
Yeah. I don't know a pinpointed time, but just based off of listening to my team and my Black colleagues, and you know, my direct supervisor, so many voices across the league unanimously had that sentiment. And you know, I think that just based on hearing it over and over again, the supportive voices and just collectively as a company, as my colleagues felt to want that to happen, like that is what led to this.
This is again, answer could be no on this, I suppose. But I know you graduated from Mizzou. You did some video work with Mizzou Athletics. And I think that would have put you there during the protests and all of the things that were happening around 2015.
Did
any of that inform, do you feel like that informed where you're at now? Do you feel like anything there kind of moved you or taught you anything particular from your time at Mizzou?
I do, actually. I definitely do. And by trying to be a white male ally in 2015 and seeing the landscape of the culture at Mizzou, I think that definitely helped inspire this move. And I think that's a personal layer, at least, that has kind of been unexplored in the past week. But I definitely think that does ring true. I also think that just as a form of rebellion, if you will, that is how I got my start in sports. My first job with Mizzou Athletics came because I took Mizzou football footage off of the server to make my own hype video in 2014, which ended up performing better than Mizzou's official hype video, which then made Mizzou Athletics folks say, hey, like, you shouldn't have done that, but that was a cool video. Like, we want you to work for us. So, I don't know. It's at least from a creator sense, it's taking a chance like that, going against the rules and, you know, what one person can do in becoming a catalyst can be very powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great. I know Roger Goodell reached out to you directly after the video went out and everything. What went through your head whenever you either saw his name or some unknown number pop up on your phone screen? And also, please don't curse on the radio.
Well, that is the sentiment I had exactly. Okay. So we chatted back and forth via email. He didn't call me directly. Having an email come through my inbox with no subject line, but from Roger, I had to take a breath. Right?
No subject is brutal. That's a brutal little unnecessary detail. Just type anything, Roger. Sure. Please, something.
Exactly. But you know, it was a message of support. He was thankful. He was supportive. He acknowledged that the video was incredibly important and, you know, had expressed that he wants me moving forward to help the league create content for the social justice initiatives. And the two things that I responded back with were, one, like, I would be happy to do that, right? Mm-hmm. I very much look forward to helping create that content and be a tool for these voices. But I think that the only way that I can do that is if we absolutely ensure that we have the right people informing that message. We need people from the Black Engagement Network, Ben, to inform that message. We need other Black colleagues to be there, to have a hand at the table, or a seat at the table, rather, and help write that script, help inform that message, and just make sure that the right perspectives are shaping that sentiment. So he agreed on that. And then the second point was, I told him I want him to hold me accountable for the NFL social team. I want him to hold our team as a whole accountable, and I want to hold him accountable for making sure that the makeup of our workforce, the diversity of our teams, is reflective of the world and reflective of the players of the league, right? Mm-hmm. I think specifically for NFL social, that needs to be addressed immediately. And as someone in a hiring position that is able to hire creatives, video editors, designers, I think that that is on me, and that is something that I can address immediately once COVID goes away and we can unfreeze hiring. But that's something I can address immediately to make sure that, again, different perspectives have a seat at the table. I think that is so important across the industry, regardless of whether it's creative, regardless of job. Diversity and diverse teams are so important, and that's going to make the wheel turn for your team. That's going to ultimately make a more informed decision on whatever it is your company does, and it's just imperative that has to be addressed where it needs to.
Yeah. I think something that gets lost in that sometimes for people can be like the fact that if having that more diverse team lets you make more informed choices, and you don't necessarily have to have four separate statements over the course of 3 weeks or whatever to try to fix it. You're hearing those voices in your own room. There was the meeting, kind of the town hall meeting with Goodell, and you're going to have to correct me on exactly who was there, but some people have spoken about it. I think you've spoken about it a little bit. It's a funny image, honestly, to look back on and try to see, you know, Roger Goodell in a video conference with a bunch of younger and many kind of frustrated voices speaking out. Mm-hmm. Can you put us in there a little bit and I don't know, man. I don't want to ask you to be subjective while judging your boss or whatever, but I Roger Goodell, with the exception of the draft, like day three, he always seems rigid, professional, starched commissioner, and I'm kind of imagining him in that setting as someone who is really there to listen to a bunch of people that have a lot not in common with him and a lot of frustrations to share. Is that fair?
100%. Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I think that on that Zoom, the whole company was able to see him vulnerable, sitting down on a Zoom, not buttoned up, right? Mm-hmm. He was listening and addressing questions from employees completely unfiltered. He was able to address them directly and give them a direct response to I believe it was six or seven people that asked questions and shared experiences. And, you know, he was there to listen. And I appreciate that vulnerability very much. I think that, you know, this town hall was organized by Ben, the Black Engagement Network. And it was a 90-minute segment. Not segment, but 90-minute town hall with a handful of moderators and guest speakers to inform the message. But I definitely think it is so important, and I respect the hell out of it from Roger to be able to field those questions respectfully and head on and just acknowledge to his employees that he's there and he is listening and he wants to listen.
Yeah. Brendan, I appreciate your time, and I genuinely really hope that you and your team and all those players get some time in the next few maybe less busy days to step back and appreciate how much I think you guys changed the landscape in a video that fit under Twitter's video length limit. It's pretty remarkable, and I think we're going to see that echoing for a very long time. So thank you for that. Congratulations on that, and thanks for being here with us tonight.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to a new century of NFL football.
Yeah, me too. All right, go get some more food. You got catching up to do.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brendan. It's Brendan Minter. You can follow him on Twitter at Brendan, BRYNDON. We got to take a break, so we will do that now. I really mean that. I think that video, we've been talking about it for now, like, what, three or four shows? I think that video is going to change the landscape of a lot of things in the NFL. And I think Brendan, I respect the hell out of him continuing to praise the people around him, because I think that's good leadership. But I think he also is deserving of a lot of credit in what's going to happen next in the next century of football. I like that, too. We got to take a break.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Every NFL GM and every NFL head coach, except for like three of them, are Bill O'Brien.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Why is everyone on the NFL Bill O'Brien?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's a stupid liner. It's a funny liner. Appreciate Brendan Minner a lot for the work that he has done and everything. Again, man, it's kind of funny. Funny? Yeah, sure. It's kind of funny to think about an NFL social employee deciding, all right, this sucks, and I'm angry, and I'm upset, and I'm exhausted. We have to do better, so let's do better. I could have talked about that for an hour, because we didn't even talk about, what's the response whenever Roger Goodell comes out with his video. But the line's moving on this one, man. The actual issue being discussed, police brutality, systemic racism, but also just the landscape of the NFL. And again, to kind of circle back to the beginning of the hour, I don't know that Patrick Mahomes is going to become an outspoken sharer of his opinions, but it's also okay to decide this is a place where I do want to use my voice, even if I don't use it 24/7. That's also allowed, and we saw a lot of guys doing it in that video, and I think that's tremendously important. We'll talk about that and a lot of other Chiefs stuff whenever we come back. Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest will be on the phone. That's next year on Sports Radio 810.